I'll call the Thursday, June 5th, Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Sumwalt, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Athinis?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
And Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, who's at fault?
Roman, get out. Before we get started, I want to welcome new commissioners, former Alderman Patty Hogan, a longtime community resident, been on the Plan Commission before, common council, former common council president, very active in the community, as well Scott Thinnis, an architect by trade, been involved in many of the projects here in the city, and I welcome you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've done the roll call. We do have a quorum. In your packet, there's minutes from Thursday, May 22nd meeting, ably chaired by Alderwoman Mayor. Are there any additions or corrections?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 3A, David B. Janowski and Tamara Janowski, doing business as a Green Dog Grooming. This is a public hearing. Mr. Sumwalt.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 5th, 2014 at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To your public comment regarding an application by David B. Janowski and Tamara L. Janowski, DBA, A Green Dog Grooming, LLC, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification, Title Number 752, Animal Specialty Services, to allow for a dog and cat grooming with pet supply retail sales business use upon property zoned B4, South 27th Street Mixed Use Commercial District, located at 8935 South 27th Street.
Thank you very much. Mr. Deedle?
Thank you. A brief summary of the project, and then we'll let anyone who wishes to speak. This project is, as the public hearing notice mentioned, a special use. The applicant is proposing to move into an existing building, an existing vacant tenant space next to Mulligan's restaurant. Staff has looked at the matter, is recommending approval. With only the standard conditions. The issues that are sometimes of concerns or issues with special uses would be hours of operation, but because it's a restaurant with a bar, they're usually open late. That shouldn't be a problem. The parking lot has adequate spaces. So there were no issues that staff is aware of, and staff is recommending approval.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. I'll now open a public hearing in this matter. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Anyone wishing to speak in this matter? Yes, sir. Your name and address, please.
David Janowski. The aforementioned address is
8935 South 27th.
And that's the address of the property that we're looking at. My wife and I have been in business a mile away on the opposite side in Oak Creek for 5.5 years. We do very well where we are, but we need more room. And business continues to grow. And we like being in the area. And just basically what I wanted to say is I think that this location in Franklin is perfect for what we're looking for. We just want to continue to grow our business, and I just think that this is a great opportunity for us to do that. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Janowski. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll close the citizen comment period. Commissioners, questions? Is there a motion? Do you wish to take action?
Yes.
Motion to approve.
Okay, let me read the motion. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions upon the approval of a special use for a dog and cat grooming with pet supply retail sales business use upon property located at 8935 South 27th Street? Is that your motion, Commissioner?
Yes.
Second.
Any discussion of that motion? Hearing
glad
none.
Glad he's coming to Franklin.
Pardon me?
Glad he's coming to Franklin.
Well, he isn't yet. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This will be on the Common Council meeting for June 17th.
June 17th.
Thank you. I don't see the problem. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sir, enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service all these years.
For those in the audience, she's referring to our illustrious city engineer who's retiring. His last day is tomorrow after 44 years of service to the community. We've given him lots of plaques, so we're not talking about it anymore. Item 3B, City of Franklin extension of West Evergreen Street for access to Pleasant View Neighborhood Park. This is not a public hearing. Show me. All right, since it's a public hearing, Mr. Sumwalt.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 5th, 2014 at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application from the City of Franklin for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions for properties located at and about 7501 South 49th Street, zoned R6, Suburban Single Family Residence District, C1 Conservancy District, FC Floodplain Conservancy District, FW Floodway District, and P1 Park District, which bear tax key numbers 788-998-1002 and 788-999-9003. The requested special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of allowing approximately 1,500 square feet of wetland filling and paving, 7,100 square feet of filling and paving of the wetland buffer, and 11,100 square feet of wetland setback filling and paving for the proposed extension of West Evergreen Street to accommodate access to Pleasant View Neighborhood Park.
This item relates to a natural resources special exception, which by ordinance requires that any public comment be given as sworn testimony. So anyone wishing to speak on this matter will be sworn. And in that regard, you have we'll do two parts here. Mr. Deedle, you were sworn earlier this afternoon. And what was the nature of that swearing?
So I could testify on behalf of the city on this matter.
And you swore
the city is the applicant.
Tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Deedle. So therefore, you'll testify in a little bit. But you do have a project narrative, so please go ahead.
As mentioned, this is a natural resource special exception. The city has, for a long time now, owned land south of Pleasant View School. It's intended to be used as a park, neighborhood park. More recently, the city acquired the land for an extension of Evergreen Street to that future parkland. To get that street crossing to the future park, we will have to cross a little drainage way with wetlands on it. Pursuant to city regulations, we have to go through this process to have a special exception to fill the wetlands, build the road to get to the park. The public hearing notice mentioned the amount of wetlands. This has been reviewed and approved. The wetland fill has been reviewed and approved by the DNR. By the Army Corps of Engineers. The city would be the last one that would have to review and approve the wetland fill. The city also, this application for natural resource special exception, in addition to the wetland, is also for wetland buffers as well. And that approval has to come from the Common Council. There was a review of this matter by the Environmental Commission last year. At that meeting, the motion to approve or recommend approval died because it was a tie 3-3 vote. Pursuant to the city's ordinances, the matter can proceed still to Plan Commission to the Common Council for the Common Council's eventual ultimate decision on this matter. Staff is recommending approval with only a suggestion for mitigation. Plan commission recommendations and any public hearing comments should all be forwarded to the common council for their final decision. So again, staff is recommending approval of the wetland fill as well as the wetland buffer, and the Army Corps and DNR have already approved the wetland fill.
Thank you, Mr. Deedle. This is a public hearing. I'll now open the public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Yes, sir. Please come forward and be sworn.
You raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I certainly do, Mr. Bennett.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm a neighbor.
Your neighbor, excuse me, sir. Your name
My name is
please.
Walter Habowitz. I live at 7475 South 49. I border 7501. I would like to just see a map of this proposed road. Where it is.
It does not include, that map does not show the anticipated parking area.
Which okay, where is Evergreen? Over there or here?
Evergreen?
Yeah. From
here's 50. The existing Evergreen.
Okay, where's 51st on here?
51st would be
over there. Okay.
And here's the extension.
Okay.
And then there'll be a parking lot located roughly this area.
Well, now that I've seen it, I'm for it.
Have a nice night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir.
Play next question.
Same deal.
Okay. No problem.
State your name.
My name is Edward Pings. I live at 4811 West Madison.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Mr. Pings, please.
My question is in relation to Pleasant View School. You're accessing the land south of the woodland area behind Pleasant View, right? I'm trying to see Pleasant View on this map. I don't quite get a concept of this.
Yes, Pleasant View would be just north.
Pleasant View's up here.
Yeah. Up there.
Yeah. Actually up here.
Oh, okay. So this is actually coming up over the Root River south of the park area. Is that correct?
Here's the wooded area.
I had assumed it was coming down the east side of Pleasant View School, and I was wondering about that area there. I thought that was where your access was coming, and I saw the letter. So.
And one of the reasons it's not is certain that on that land.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the park bed, so you cannot put a road.
Gotcha. I can see the relationship of the property. No, that's cool. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Lewandowski.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way.
Would you raise your right hand? You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I got a question, but I thought there was a meeting coming up June 17 regarding this Evergreen for public information, or is there or is there not a meeting coming up in June 17?
I'm just informed by the city engineer it's a public meeting regarding special assessments for the road.
There is a meeting?
Okay.
So why are we doing this now when we're having another meeting, and I don't quite understand why we should go ahead with this when all the details are not worked out? And I'm against going into the wetlands. I just can't see any reason why this extension should go forward, because you're damaging the wetlands, and I'm against that. But I don't understand why we're doing this now, and then we're having another meeting in June 17th.
Mr. City Engineer.
There's numerous approvals that the city needs to extend. And
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
There's numerous approvals that the city needs to extend this street. We have to get approval from the Department of Natural Resources. We had to get approval from the Corps of Engineers because of the wetlands. We have received approval for them. We need to go through by city code. We have to go through the Plan Commission and get approval from the Plan Commission or recommendation from the Plan Commission to the Common Council. The hearing that on the 17th is a statutory hearing relative to special assessments, because the intent is to assess some of the costs to the abutting property owners as they will benefit from the sanitary sewer, the water, and the street being extended. So it's just, there isn't just one approval. There's a number of steps that need to be taken. Just like even an earlier step was to acquire the right-of-way for the roadway. So it's progressive to get to the roadway. That's not unusual with projects.
Well, one of the questions I got to ask also is the fact that we seem to be spending a lot of money in that area, putting, 4,400 linear feet of asphalt through that place, and now we're going to extend Evergreen for a park facility. If you look into my neighborhood, there is no park facility for young people. We're spending a lot of money, and we're not getting our money's worth in my neighborhood, and I just can't see why we're doing all this in one area and not in my area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone else? Seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. Commissioners, questions for staff regarding this matter? Is there a desire to take action? Is there a motion to recommend approval or denial? Yes, Alderwoman Mayor.
I just want to make sure that the pictures that I have in here, just, you know, it's kind of that circular cul-de-sac thing. This is including the parking area also?
Nope, this is only for the crossing of the wetland, so okay. Just for the road itself.
But the plan of doing all this, it does include the park.
Okay.
So the park, the intent is to build the road, the turnaround, and the park all at the same time.
Okay.
And that's what's been directed by council.
The retiring engineer is using the word park. He means parking lot. But he's tired. He's old. He's retiring. It's okay. Okay. Motion to recommend approval of the City of Franklin Natural Resources Features Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decisions recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council consideration of any Environmental Commission recommendation. That, by the way, that recommendation was in your packet. It's like this. Is that your motion or a motion to recommend denial?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'd like to make that motion with the addition of adding the three suggestions that the staff has made and listed at the end of their report.
So the motion is as I stated, with the staff recommendations.
Suggestions.
Is there support for that? Mr. City Engineer. Oh, wait a minute. Is there support for that motion?
A second.
There's a second for that. Mr. Bennett.
That will add considerable cost to the project that wasn't anticipated by the Common Council if we have to mitigate the wetland, because that would have to be done at city cost.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, with that bit of information, all those in favor of the motion to approve with mitigation signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Roll call, please, Mr. Sumwalt.
Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Finnis?
Aye.
Commissioner Bennett?
No.
Alderwoman Mayor?
No.
Mayor votes no. Is there further action on this item? That would be the motion without the suggestions.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for approval as recommended by the Planning Department, without the suggestions.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion to approve without the staff recommendation signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I have to remind Alderman Hogan, former Alderman Hogan, to speak up. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you very much. Where's my agenda?
What did I need my
Here it is. Here it is. Sorry. Excuse me. Item 3C, City of Franklin City Engineer Plan Commission membership, membership of the Assistant City Engineer in lieu of the City Engineer. This was taken up at the Common Council. It needs Plan Commission approval. In essence, it says that the City Engineer, in his absence, may be substituted with voting authority by the Assistant City Engineer. This is not a public hearing. It is a public hearing. Oh, excuse me. Mr. Sumwalt.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 5th, 2014 at 7 o'clock p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To your public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Section 15-10.0102 to provide for membership upon the Plan Commission of the Assistant City Engineer in the absence of the City Engineer, meaning when the City Engineer is unable to attend a Plan Commission meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Sumwalt. Mr. Deedle. Did it already, but okay.
Yeah, I would note that the mayor gave a good introduction of this matter. The related matter was already at the Common Council. Again, the reason we have to do a public hearing for this is because it's specified in the UDO that the city engineer is a voting member. And if we want to change that because it's in an ordinance, we have to amend the ordinance. And that's why we have a public hearing tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Deedle. In the past, the assistant city engineer would appear and take the place of the city engineer without voting rights. So this changes that, especially since we're going to have a lag time between the time that Jack empties his office and somebody moves into it. So this is a public hearing. I will open the public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Mr. Lewandowski, name and address, please.
8030 West Winston Way, Leroy Lewandowski. I think it should read absence of the city engineer. It says absence of the city engineer, but he's not absent. I don't quite understand the phrase.
I'm not an attorney, but...
It should be absence of a city engineer, not the.
It's an office, not a person.
Well...
That would be my explanation.
All right. Fine.
I'm not an attorney. I didn't write it, but that would be my explanation. Thank you, Leroy. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll close the citizen comment period. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text that 15-10.0102 to provide membership upon the Plan Commission of the Assistant Engineer in the absence of the City Engineer.
So moved.
That's it.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 3D, Creative Homes, redivision, reconfiguration of three parcels to four parcels for current single-family residential use and potential future further subdivision of two parcels into seven for single-family residential. Is this a hearing? No. The applicant is here. Good evening, Rick. Good to see you. For the record, I purchased my lot some, 15 years ago from Mr. Prispilla. That is the only relationship we have other than seeing each other on the street. Mr. Sumwalt.
I'll give a brief introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Deedle.
So just a brief history, just that the applicant had last year submitted a joint application potentially taking all the steps at once of a rezoning, CSM, and a subdivision plat. Eventually didn't work out the work that way, so now the applicant is going step by step. The first step was the rezoning to two remnant portions of parcels that are on Imperial. They were rezoned to R6 earlier this year. The next step now is a CSM. All the property is under a common ownership of Mr. Bella's company. And so creating a CSM, two lots adjacent to Imperial Way, and then two lots adjacent to Faith Drive. The one lot would be for the existing home right now, and then a larger lot would be for the vacant land. The plan is still, at some point in the near future, do a plat, a subdivision plat, to further subdivide this property. So at this point in time, the applicant's only looking for a CSM. Staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions. I guess the biggest ones would be that if there were small pieces of natural resources that aren't located in the proposed conservation easement, according to the UDO, all those protected resources must be in a conservation easement or similar, and so that conservation easement will have to be revised a little bit. Also, that there might be somewhat woodlands on this property, and that will have to be verified, and if so, then those would have to be protected and identified as well. So that's one of the conditions to verify that. The applicant has indicated that they would be open, or that they are willing to put up signage to help identify where this conservation easement is, particularly in light that the applicant doesn't really want to do a outline. So there will be a conservation easement, like required by the UDO, not an outlot, but they would put up signage saying where this conservation easement. Staff is suggesting that they do an outline. It's not required, but it is common practice to put natural resources in an outline. One of the other recommendations of conditions of approval from staff would be the finalization or recording of all these easements. There are a number of them. And then the last one would be there is a septic system that has a vent, but the existing home has a septic system. The vent for that septic system is located on a different proposed lot. Even though it's under common ownership now, staff had some concerns that what happens if something changes in the future, part of the septic system is on a different person's property. The applicant has proposed that they'd be open to doing a temporary limited easement to cover that septic vent. And I talked to the city engineer, and we both think that would be acceptable. So that the person, if somebody else would buy that second lot, it would be clear on the subdivision, on the CSM, and there'd be an easement that says, part of this guy's septic system is on your land. And there's an easement on it so that he can't damage it or destroy it. So that we'd be proposing that be added as a condition to the new conditions that we have. But otherwise, staff is recommending approval with those conditions.
Okay, Mr. Bennett's going to ask my question. Mr. Bennett.
Oh, I've probably got a different question.
No, I don't know.
Instead of putting, the problem is if you put a conservation easement in an outlot, and somebody doesn't pay taxes on it, pretty soon it turns out to be a public. I think it would be better, much better, just to put it in an easement. Because an outlot isn't going to show up anyway. I mean, don't have a fence around an outlot, you have a just legal description. So I would think the best thing to do is to put it in an easement. And if he wants to put some signs up where it's at, that's fine too. But I mean, an outlot's not going to show any more than an easement's going to show on the property. So I would suggest that. And the planning, Mr. Deedle did talk to me today and thought we could maybe just cut back the event, but I said you really can't tamper with an existing septic system. They won't let you modify that. To do that, you'd have to start all over again with a new whole new septic system, and more likely have to be a mound system. But so putting an easement, then at least the property owner that buys the other property is going to know it's there, and that this property, the original property owner with the septic system, has the ability to maintain that. I think putting in an easement is really the only alternative.
Mr. Deedle.
I was just going to note that That is always a possibility for outlot not to be maintained, and then worst case scenario, the city might have to take it over. That is a possibility, but it is common practice to put these natural resources in outlots. One of the reasons, it's only one of the reasons, a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons, and the reason I mentioned it, is something similar came up this morning. Protecting resources or planting easements, for instance, is not common everyday activities for a homeowner or a property owner. Everything we can do to point that feature out to the property owner is a good thing. It's less likely that there'll be infringements or encroachments into those areas or some kind of damage or something that would result in some enforcement action later. And as an outlot, it's identified specifically in another way in addition to an easement. So not only will they see it on a CSM as another lot, not only will they get that if they do some kind of title search on the property, but it has tax implications as well. You know, they pay a tax bill, they look at it, they'll see that there's two parcel numbers or a reference to an outlot. Everything that we can do to point out the fact there's something different back there would help a little bit to protect that area. It's not required, but it is common practice to put those in.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Prisbilla, you want to kick the cat? Come on up and have a seat. Name and address, please.
I think you did. I think you did an excellent job of explaining it. I think John did also. There was many discussions about that prior to getting to this point. And with all the meetings that we had, unfortunately, I didn't meet directly with Joel, but I was meeting with Nick. We actually had come to a consensus that this was probably the best way to create the conservation easement, with the understanding that we would identify with signs on both sides of the property, and that was my understanding through all
of
our
discussions. As an outlot or as an easement?
As an easement, as a conservation easement being created. And we've actually submitted that already. However, he's got some other wording to add the buffers and the wetland and other things to it, which we wholeheartedly agree to also. So, yeah, there was also another suggestion possibly with even a couple of rocks or boulders, if that was available, that we would be able to create that. I've been maintaining the property as of now. I've actually taken Nick's suggestion. I've actually backed off of cutting the property up to the wetland area or the creek area. So there's already I've started to create an identification line. So,
Mr. Dietl.
I was just going to mention that the majority of the discussions didn't bring up this possibility that the staff might want this as an outlot. That's the reason why it's only a suggestion. So if the Plan Commission would agree that they do want it as an outlot, it's not in the resolution right now, so the Plan Commission would have to add that to the resolution as a condition. That's why it's only a suggestion.
I do have a question for you, Mr. Prisbilla. That's the vent. I know how you do business. You've obviously laid down the building footprint, the possible footprints, and it's okay.
The vent is there, obviously, from the existing property there. And
is that
we have
it?
The home to the closer to 76th Street?
Yeah.
Yes, that one. And we are presently, per committee recommendations, we are negotiating with the property owner to the south. The whole picture is to obviously create a subdivision for this entire parcel.
Thank you. Commissioners? Time for motion. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a four-lot certified survey map being all of Outlot 1 of certified survey map number 7051, Outlot 1, Block 7 of Tuckaway Green Edition number 2, and lands in the southeast one-quarter of the southeast one-quarter Section 9, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, with out Joel?
If the city engineer was going to make the motion adding that one, adding the condition about the temporary limited easement for the septic tank.
I would so move.
With the temporary limited easement for the septic. It's been moved. Is there a second?
I second that.
You got to record it, Patty.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Comments from the commission? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve, including a limited easement for the septic, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Thank you, Mr. Brisbois. Item 3E. Wisconsin Energy Storage Building construction on the existing Wisconsin Energy's property. Mr. Deedle.
Just a site plan amendment for this one. This is the We Energy's property next to Andy's gas station, next to 51st and Rawson. They're proposing to add a metal pole shed-like building behind their existing building, north of the existing building. Staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions. I believe representatives are here. They have some concerns with some of our recommendations, so they're going to want to speak on that. Staff is recommending, for instance, that the existing berm on the north side of the property be additional landscaping be added to it to help screen this new building from the property owners to the north. It's my understanding that the alderwoman of the district has talked to some of those neighbors, and both the alderwoman and those neighbors would like to see more landscaping on the berm. Staff is just suggesting that the berm be increased in size to further help screen that new building from the residential properties to the north. And that's one of the concerns that the applicant has. I believe that they're not comfortable increasing the size of the berm. They are okay with adding landscaping to it. Other conditions are that, that the lights on the north side of the building be removed. I believe there are no doors or windows on that north side, so we thought it would be easy to remove those lights and help reduce any glare onto the adjacent properties. And then furthermore, that the lights on the sides of the building be shielded so they don't spill over. And then that they could leave the lights on the south side of the building farthest away from the homes as proposed. One of the other concern the applicant had with one of our conditions, so there was two concerns. One was the height of the berm. The other one is there is a natural resource, a wetland and some woodlands on the property. There is a gravel work area parking lot that encroaches into the wetland setback and buffs. Staff is asking that be removed and planted back to grass, and I believe the applicant is willing to remove part of it, but not all of it. I believe that they were originally going to encroach converting some of that gravel into an asphalt parking lot, and I believe that they were going to revise their plans accordingly for that as well. But they were going to leave, I believe, some of the gravel within the setback and buffer. Staff's recommending that those be removed and planted back to grass. I believe those were the two main concerns of the applicants. And then related to that, then, is because we have new information on the location and size of the wetland and woodlands, to do a conservation easement to identify all that. And I believe the applicant is, I think, okay with that as well. But again, staff's recommending approval with those conditions. The height of the berm, just being increasing the height of the berm, only a suggestion. But the applicant, I believe, has concerns with that and with the removal of all the gravel from all of the wetlands.
Thank you, Mr. Deedle. The applicant's here?
Yes.
What happened to all our chairs?
My name is Michael McNeil. I'm the area manager of this area of We Energies. My address is 7815 Northwestern Avenue, Racine, Wisconsin. What we do at this facility is operate what we refer to as a service center. We have primarily gas and electric crews working out of this area. At times, we do work 24/7 in the event of a storm electric or gas emergency. We do have a concern about the lighting at the rear of the property because our people are using that yard to obtain materials for repairs around the clock. And I also have with me two other gentlemen from who are representing our company. I've got Christian Ellie from Rueckert & Mielke, and I've got Jeff Shimoliski, who's from our building area, who can both speak on the issues of the burn. Chris?
Well, do you need my name and address as well?
I would love that, please.
Very well. My name is Chris Ginelli. My address is W233N6768 Candlewick Drive, Sussex, Wisconsin. With regards to the berm, I don't. Can I operate that thing?
This is the existing grading plan. And as you can kind of see in this, thanks, Jeff. This represents the We Energy's fence to the yard. And then, of course, this dashed line represents the
more. Can you catch this? It's a laser pointer. It's the back button. From the other one there. There you go.
This line X line symbol represents the fence to the yard. The bold dash line represents the, in essence, the property line. This is basically a drainage boundary. You can kind of ignore that, but the space between the fence and the property line is a berm, and you can kind of see our contour lines there now, and it's actually kind of a fairly steep berm up and down already. So to increase the height of that would be kind of difficult.
How high is it?
Looks like in this spot it's 5 feet currently. 5 or 6 feet all the way along. there's some significant tree growth there now, mature trees. Some deciduous, some pine. I think the energy sent some photos earlier today that we can ask us to show at some point. But
Plant commissioners have copies of
them. Okay. So you can kind of see some of the screening that might exist today. I think We Energies is acceptable to planting additional trees. In fact, we show some proposed trees in here. The way we chose to locate the trees was really by Google Earth. A lot of the, when we did the survey, we didn't locate individual trees because there's so many. So in order to kind of fill in the gaps, if you will, we took photos, looked at Google Earth, and kind of planted the trees where we felt they would best be suited. So that's kind of how you see the landscape plan now today. Switch to said landscape plan. Those are the trees in bold are the ones that are proposed. The shaded, kind of a lighter colored trees are really the ones that are existing. From the photos, you can kind of see the coverage that's there already. So we were hoping that, obviously, the berm height physically probably couldn't get expanded without creating some very steep, unmaintainable slopes. And then, of course, the trees, as we have them, are kind of filling in the gaps that we kind of talked about. With regards to the wetlands and the woodlands, that's kind of in the northeastern corner of the property. I keep looking the wrong way. This and shows the
back, the one closest to you, I believe.
The battery might be dead.
No, I was going.
Was it?
Last one. You got to push the right button.
Engineers
just
bad toys.
It was a free toy, but it'd be bad toys.
This line represents the delineated wetlands. This line represents the 50-foot setback based on the buffer requirements. Currently, this fence line, in essence, goes right up to the wetland line, and there is gravel storage here today. There is asphalt paving that we energy uses for storage today. These areas drain away from the wetlands, actually. Normally we have wetlands in the low spot. Our wetlands are kind of in the high spot. Everything drains this way today, that way. And we're going to basically maintain that drainage. So this proposal shows what we would supposed to do, which is to do nothing within the wetland buffer area. Leave what's gravel, gravel. Leave what's asphalt, is asphalt. And then construct our proposed improvements, which is the garage and some of the asphalt paving in the yard. And then, like I said, this line that represents the wetland setback, we would, in essence, do nothing. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr.
Simmons. Commissioner Simmons.
To the west of the wetland line, the delineation line of the wetlands, you said that is gravel storage there?
This is currently gravel.
So is it gravel sitting just on grade?
Yep.
And used as a roadway?
Yeah.
Or is it actually storage of gravel?
It's used as a roadway. It's the gravel base that is the yard.
Okay.
So there's truck traffic over it. There's the potential to store equipment and material.
Okay, so I see you have an entrance loop for your overhead door on that side of the building.
Correct, yeah. So we would propose to pave that as concrete. There are garage bays within the garage. So typical movements of the vehicles would be come in, park, and then the next day load up and drive out the garage. There is an overhead door here. This would propose, we would propose that in concrete, and then the rest would be in gravel.
So you're just going to pave concrete to the existing gravel line and then leave it?
Correct. We had originally in our submittal, our first submittal, we had proposed that all of this we would do as asphalt and we would continue this concrete down, similar to what we have here. But then we realized that there was the wetland buffer issues and kind of no touch zone. So rather than opposed to rip this up and plant grass within the yard and make less usable space for the energy to propose to just leave it as it is.
Is there a recommendation in there to push that whole building to the west?
Mr. Deal.
We thought that's what they were going to do, but it appears they're leaving the building as is in the first location they first proposed it. And as you explained, they're just not going to add any additional asphalt or gravel, asphalt or concrete in that wetland setback. First, at one point, we thought they were actually going to move everything, but it looks like they're not.
Yeah, we had I think when the situation came up, we had talked about actually moving it, and we realized we could probably just leave it where it is. If we moved it, obviously that would, we had fairly straight shots with the utilities and coming into the building, and so that was kind of a consideration. And of course, the intent here was to, from a stormwater perspective, really only usable space for stormwater right now today is down here in this corner. So our intent with keeping the building where it was had to see this drainage actually is downhill is this way. So we're proposing storm sewer to come this way and into our pond. So the more we move this building, the less water we can actually get over here because our storm sewer is shallow.
Okay, that building is the main building there is, I believe, precast concrete.
Yeah,
is it tilt up or something?
Yeah.
And now you so this actually, how high is the roof line on the main building?
The height of the building at the rear of the building is 19 foot 3 and it goes up to 23 feet.
That's the new building. I'm talking about the existing building.
I couldn't tell you that offhand.
Okay, I'm just curious what the visibility of that new building behind the existing one is.
It'll be shielded.
It's not as high.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Gentlemen, we record these meetings, so it's important that we do the name and address thing.
Do it. Jeff Shimoleski, Milwaukee Area Facility Manager for We Energies, 904 Elm Street, West Bend, Wisconsin.
Well, I think you guys live in Franklin. Come on.
A couple points to mention.
Presently, there is a metal building on the site. Okay. This building, the reason why we relocated the way we did, for all the reasons that Chris talked about, but also for what you're mentioning, we tried to keep it as far behind the existing building because the height of the building would shield it from Rawson Avenue. And we know that the building height is high enough that you won't see that from the front of our lot. The other point is trying to make, with our large bucket trucks, trying to make this turn to get in. If we shift this over because of the corner lot here, the way our trucks turn, it'll make it very difficult to be able to swing to get into the building. That's why we're asking to leave it in the location that it's at.
Okay, and on that lighting issue, because I want to cover a couple issues here. On the lighting issue, you have your 23-foot eve height is on the south side of the building. Your 19-foot eve height is on the back.
Correct.
And that's are you putting? That's where the lighting that we're talking about. Or are we talking about pole lighting along the berm in the back?
There's presently poles here that are going to be removed. So the lighting, yes, would be on the back side of the building. And the reason why that's critical is that we keep poles back there that they need to get at, you know, during the storms. So it's at night they have to be able to get back there and maneuver to get the poles out of that location.
Okay, and what kind of, are you putting wall packs on there? Like,
I actually brought up.
Just above the doors, or are you putting a whole line of them?
No, there'll be wall packs above the doors.
Yeah, they're not indicated on the plan.
And that berm, you say you're at a, you say if you have to add height to it, you're going to have to decrease the base, and you're really captured there. Okay, how many of these are going on there?
I'd have to look at the plan. I think there's about three or four of them there.
And they're up at the highest possible height you can put them?
A couple feet below the 19 foot. There might have 17 or
so. Yeah, I can see your need for having lighting back there, but I'm kind of trying to. You know, I know it's very annoying to have a lot of lighting when you're have a residence back there in the yard. And I appreciate the berm and landscaping. That should help considerably. But you mentioned that this is for use during emergency storms and stuff, that you're back there in the evening dark hours. Maybe we could control the hours that these lights are on.
We also like to keep our yards lit.
Security.
What I can add, though, is the present lights that are there, they're poles with down lights that actually drive the light straight down. The idea of the lights back behind here, the photometrics of that light only allows it to go out just shy of the fence line. So the pattern creates won't allow the light.
I see it's good.
Further.
So it's pretty much directional.
Right, it's set to go down. So I mean, you'll get a pattern of light, you know, kind of like this, enough to light it up where we can maneuver back there. It's not like it's not a wall pack or a flood that's on the side of the building. It's just to light out.
Yeah.
You got zero at the lot
line. What
was that?
There's zero at the lot line.
Right.
So the light getting over that berm should be minimal, right, if any.
Well, the issue isn't the light spill. The issue for me, gentlemen, is the light glare coming from the fixture itself.
The light, the lamp itself faces down.
You're going to get
pattern out. I understand.
I'm okay with the pattern out.
Okay.
What troubles me and what will trouble the neighbors is that they can see the light fixture casting light, and this light is like that with the fixture here that's available, that's visible. put a shield on there, I'm a happy guy.
Okay.
Do you know anybody at the electric company? You might be able to make that happen. And I'm curious as to why you wouldn't use poles up here at the lot line.
There are some there today.
With directional downlighting. Because that would eliminate my problem.
Shining the other way.
If that
appeases you, I mean, yeah, we can put poles out there and fund the light back at the building.
That would be a good thing for the neighbors, I would think.
I mean, because, you know, the light poles that are up there presently today, I've driven back behind there at night. I mean, you can see, you'll see the light on the existing light poles. And then some of the poles down at that end will be staying already. We're not taking them down.
Yeah. But if you would consider putting directional downlighting where the lamp, the fixture itself can't be seen from the kitchen windows.
Got it.
I'd much prefer to have the light going away from the houses than towards it.
Okay.
It also eliminates your spill, and you'll definitely get zero here.
Right.
Staff?
Yes, that is a good idea.
Any other? Alderwoman Barron.
The berm, is that 5 feet all the way across? Some of these pictures make it look like it kind of goes up and down.
It does vary by a foot or two.
Okay.
Yeah, I think right here, the bottom contour line is like 741, and the top is 747, so that's 6 feet. And over here, you can't see the contour lines, but if you count the contour lines, there's 4 or 5 of them, I'm sure.
The trees that are proposed, how many are there? They're like 10?
I would kind of try to go over gaps. I'd say there's probably...
And these are in 5-gallon containers?
I think they're
30 years.
8-foot tree, a typical 8-foot new tree. There's 12 of them.
Pine trees?
Yes. Yeah.
Norway spruce.
Fat. Aspen.
Fir tree and blue spruce.
Okay.
Down in the corner of the little schedule.
Thanks, Scott.
For Commissioner Hogan's benefit, you said there are about 8-foot trees. They're transplants. They're not.
Eight foot tall. You would buy at a nursery. And they are standard is a 2-year warranty on them.
Mr. Deedle.
We believe that most of the existing trees and shrubs out there are short and pretty not thick enough. So if you look at most of the Google Earth maps, for instance, or even if you drive out there now, there's lots of gaps now where everything's leafed out. In the spring and summer where you look at most of those Google Earth maps, it looks like there's nothing out there. So there are the right corner where they have the bigger, darker existing trees, those are fairly well sized. Those are good. That's what we look for on the entire berm. And there are no other trees like that except for one or two isolated ones until you get to the west berm going up and down. Then there's a fair number on that side.
But these were probably planted 30 years ago in 1990 when the building was built, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, we're looking for a lot more trees than that. And, yes, we'd be looking at most of them being 8 foot to start with, which would still be a little skimpy to begin with, but hopefully after a couple of years they start to grow and fill out, and it wouldn't be so bad.
Alderwoman,
we don't think
Mayor.
That's enough right now.
Alderwoman Mayor, then Commissioner Bennett.
What is the purpose of the building?
Garage space. We house a lot of vehicles outside now, and just using last winter as a typical example, that adds significantly to our operating costs as the men have to clean the vehicles every morning. And it's just a good idea to have these vehicles housed inside. So it's basically vehicle storage.
Okay.
We're not adding anyone to the building. We currently house about 90 personnel, some office folks, some field folks. So we're not adding to the population.
It's just the storage.
That's
and
correct.
Everybody who's using that is in the main building.
That's right.
Okay.
Mr. Bennett.
Is there any code requirement that they have to remove gravel or asphalt if they build a new building?
Anything new has to be.
Okay, so if it's not new, it can stay?
Yes.
So there's no code requirement?
It's similar to the item that was for the council spot free cleaning and the pavement in the right way, that kind of scenario.
So they clearly, don't?
Clearly, Jesse's made the call that if it's pre-existing, it doesn't have to come. Anything new has to abide by the code.
And you're saying it drains away from that so it doesn't drain into the wetland? Yeah. So there really isn't any gain by having it removed?
Other than we just see an opportunity to come into more compliance with the existing code.
Commissioner Thinnes, and then Commissioner Mayer, Alderman.
The stated purpose of the building is for vehicle storage, just for vehicles.
Correct.
Why so many overhead doors on the south elevation?
We have a lot of vehicles. I'm not sure I understand what you're driving.
Well, I mean, it almost looks like it's being set up to be some type of a vehicle service facility where vehicles can get pulled in and out bay by bay rather than pulled out in the morning and put back in the evening. Because, you know, usually, you know, we built our DPW garage. We got a door on one end, a door on the other end. Vehicles come in one side, they park, come out in the morning, they back out, and they go out the other side. Usually multiple, like I think there's like eight overhead doors on that one south elevation is usually indicative of a bay arrangement where you're servicing vehicles or...
No, we have a service facility in the existing main building. We're not adding any service facilities. What typically happens is we run numerous crews out of here, so at night they pull in. And depending upon if it's a normal morning, we've got, let's just for the sake of argument, say 10 crews pulling out of here in the morning. They've got their arrangement of vehicles. If it's a trouble call at night, one, maybe two of the bays will be having vehicles. So it's really a convenience of arranging vehicles linearly from east to west or west to east along there. So it's we don't want to be backing any vehicles. We have a lot of problems with backing vehicles and accidents. So it's come in the west, point your vehicle angularly to the southeast in the morning, you pull out, and there's really little to no maneuvering to jockey vehicles around. So that's really all there is to it. And if you look at the existing building, the same arrangement exists facing to the northeast for our, how many overhead doors do we have there, Jeff? Let's say there's seven or eight now. It's a mirror of that. And all we're doing is taking the vehicles we're currently parking out in the weather and housing them here. So it's... there's no plan to service vehicles or add vehicles at this point.
Let me add this exiting section here, that's only if we need to take vehicles and pull straight through here and back out. This exiting door is used minimal. As Mike alluded to, the idea is to stack the vehicles this way so they can all pull out as the bays, as they're strategically located in each bay.
How are you going to get a truck here?
There's actually, you pull in, and we don't have a drawing of it, but it actually shows every one of these bays are aimed.
Okay. Alderwoman Mayer.
I have a question regarding the exit one. Mm-hmm. If we, you're recommending that we pull out that gravel and put in grass?
Yes.
So then it really wouldn't work for that exiting?
Correct.
Okay.
And the gravel and the asphalt has been like that, you know, since the property was put together. It's been existing since the service center opened.
The service center did it that way, though? That was just vacant land?
When the building was originally built.
Yeah.
That's, okay. And the reason why they did the fence line was obviously because of the one that boxed it off.
For the record, I'd like to add one thing. One of our corporate mantras is to be a good neighbor and provide customer service. I realize for me to stand here and say we'll be responsive to constituents to the north is you know, perhaps I'm not offering you a guarantee, but I'm telling you it is my expectation that any complaint, and I'm unaware that we've had any in the 30-plus years we've operated here, we are intent on being a good neighbor and continuing to be a good neighbor. So if we get through this project and there's something that's not satisfactory to the neighbors to the north, whether it's lighting, berm, vegetation placement, we will be responsive to that, because our goal here is simply, and from my point of view, instead of having vehicles running outside, particularly during the winter, which does provide noise for people to the north, and depending on the wind, either is a factor or not a factor, now we're going to have a noise buffer, if you will, of the building in the mornings in particular, when most of our activity on a normal day occurs. So if there's something here that doesn't meet your needs, once you see what we've done here, we'll be responsive, I guarantee you.
Alderwoman Mayer.
I'm sorry, Joel, I probably missed it, but how many trees were you recommending?
We didn't have a definitive number. We were going to leave that. The commission was going to be staff to approve the final number of trees. But yeah, we'd be willing to work with them in terms of, you know, we haven't walked that berm. We've only been on adjacent properties looking at it. So yeah, if there's something that looks like it's dying, we might want more trees. If it looks like something is really going well, maybe we'll have less trees, and then when that final number is, we'll know.
Because the majority of the trees that are here, according to these pictures, are not evergreen.
Correct.
At this point. So they lose the leaves and... Okay.
Is there a motion? Or are you guys finished? Commissioner Bennett.
Yeah, we got some things to say. Number one, about the west side of the building, or the east side of the building. Where it'll go. I guess I would recommend we leave what's there. And we're going to change the lighting, so it'll be on poles facing to the south. And we're going to approve the landscaping. We're going to have the planning department have sufficient landscaping to screen this site from that, and leave that decision up to the planning staff. Is that the way I'm reading it?
I was about to do that, yes.
So, is there a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 4800 West Rawson Avenue to allow for construction of a storage building with the following conditions? One, that the additional natural screening be added subject to the approval of the planning staff, that being trees. That lighting be relocated from the north side of the building to poles at the lot line, subject to staff approval, with the desire for directional lighting. Two, that the we won't mention the natural resources protection because we don't want that.
Or remove condition number 9.
I don't have the ordinance. Oh, okay, we'll do it that way. Okay.
Strike
condition 9.
And the landscaping is pretty much covered by condition number 5, but additional direction is always welcome. The lighting would have to be added as another new condition.
So the motion is a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 4800 West Rawson Avenue to allow for construction of a storage building with the conditions outlined in the resolution, deleting condition number 9, adding a condition that says the lighting on the east side, on the north side of the building shall be deleted, and pole lighting, subject to the approval of staff, will be added at the lot line with directional controls.
That's it. Is there a motion to that effect?
Moved.
Second.
Any discussion of that motion? All those in favor of the motion, is that okay, Mr. Beadle? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 3F, complete streets. Since neither one of the members of the complete streets are here, Mr. Sumwalt, do you have anything for that one? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
And congratulations to our good friend and best wishes, Jack Bennett.
Thank you.
Happy retirement, Jack.
It's been a privilege to serve on this plan commission.
It's been a privilege to being served by you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Good job.